This is Freedom's First News on Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9.
7:05 at Oklahoma's Talk Radio, Freedom 96.9. We made it halfway through. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. It's August 13th. We're almost halfway through this month. And I haven't been insufferable as much as I am, usually am on my birthday months. I think part of it is because I'm doing my Ryan Seacrest impression and working all the time. And I haven't really taken time out for myself. But trust me, that's coming. That's coming soon. Especially after I don't know. It's one of those things where I don't treat myself a lot, but I think I'm going to be treating myself this Thanksgiving. And I say that because, you know, schedules are coming out, NFL schedules are coming out. And if you know me, you know, I'm a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan. And I know that Oklahoma City becomes a suburb of Dallas during the NFL season. But Kansas City is paying a visit to Jerry's World on Thanksgiving. And so my daughter and I are thinking about having a father-daughter Chiefs Dallas Thanksgiving extravaganza. So that's kind of one of those things that's been on my mind lately. And that'll be my little treat to me for a lot of hard work being done this year in 2025. I can't believe that we're already way past the halfway point of this year. Crazy stuff. Speaking of crazy stuff, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on in this world. We're here to tell you about it and the not-so-crazy stuff, too. Don't forget, I believe the school districts, it's Oklahoma City and Norman, and I can't remember, I think a couple others are starting today. So watch for those school zones out there as you head to work, or if you're dropping off the kids or getting ready to do it. I can tell this morning traffic was a little bit elevated coming in to the station. So we'll keep an eye on traffic here for you, too, you know, because we give you the latest news, weather, and traffic right here on Freedom 96. You can hear that on the app at the Freedom 96.9 app. Of course, we got the website, freedom969.com. You can see us on Facebook Live. We've also got handles on X and Instagram. And after it's all said and done, if you want to go back and listen to it again, it podcastifies on Spotify. So that's how multiple ways you can listen to Freedom's First News right here on Oklahoma's Talk Radio, Freedom 96.9. Let's see here. Today, I had a last-minute cancellation on a guest, so we don't have a guest today. But we do have a lot from the Oklahoma City Council from yesterday's meeting. There was a big approval of the Shields incentives. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also get a tax report, how the taxes are doing in the city of Oklahoma City on that. We're on the eve of the 2025 Freedom Fiesta celebration getting underway, and that commemorates the 67th anniversary of the Katz Drugstore sit-in. We'll give you some details about that. And, of course, there's all kinds of other things that are going on in the news. So let's go ahead and hit those Freedom First News headlines, starting with attorneys for the State Board of Education have withdrawn a representation. The Tulsa World obtained a letter to State Superintendent Ryan Walters from a Tulsa law firm declaring it was withdrawing as general counsel for the State Board of Education. The Norman Volgemuth, I hope I got that right, Volgemuth's law firm submitted its resignation earlier this week. It's the third outside law firm to represent the Board of Education since Walters took office in 2023. Several state agencies were impacted by a network outage on Tuesday. The Office of Management Enterprise Services, known as OMES, is investigating what happened. Agencies like Service Oklahoma, where you get your driver's licenses and IDs, could not perform duties for more than a couple of hours. Some agencies sent employees home and closed for the day, according to Oklahoma Voice. Tuesday's elections in 22 counties were not impacted by the outage. Service was restored late yesterday afternoon. And Oklahoma State University is moving ahead with a new state-of-the-art veterinary teaching hospital backed by an historic $250 million investment from the legislature. Senator Darcy Yeck says the project will boost veterinary care across Oklahoma, especially in rural areas, and help train the next generation of veterinarians. OSU President Jim Hess calls it a bold commitment to animal health, food security, and the state's agriculture future. The 255,000-square-foot facility will replace a 50-year-old hospital and expand training capacity for students. And that's your Freedom's First headlines on this Wednesday morning, 7:10 here at Oklahoma's Talk Radio, Freedom 96.9. And I think in the next segment, we'll go ahead and hit the Oklahoma City Council. But just in case you didn't know, 67 years ago, a major, major thing happened here at Oklahoma City. The Katz drugstore sit-in. Actually, it was August 19th, so we're approaching it. And the Clara Looper Legacy Committee puts together the 2025 Freedom Fiesta celebration, and it actually gets underway tomorrow. Several events are planned leading up to the commemoration of the 67th anniversary of the Katz drugstore sit-in. Clara Looper and 13 students with the NAACP Youth Council began a sit-in on August 19th, 1958. That action led to the desegregation of Katz drugstore chain and many stores in downtown Oklahoma City. The events include a choir concert at the Oklahoma History Center on Thursday evening. Friday features an art show and panel discussion at Northeast Health and Wellness. Saturday morning is the reenactment. It takes place at 9 a.m. starting at the Frontline Church in downtown Oklahoma City and ending at Kaiser's Grateful Bean Cafe. Sunday is the culmination of the Freedom Fiesta celebration with a sermon at the 5th Street Baptist Church. If you want to find out more, go to claraluperlegacy.com. And it'll tell you where all the events and stuff are going on, just in case you want to take part. I usually try to take part on either covering the reenactment of the sit-in or observing it. And when I say and observing it, I usually still bring cameras out and interview people and things like that. It's one of my favorite commemorations of a civil rights movement that inspired other parts of the civil rights movement across the country. It inspired Martin Luther King Jr. himself. It inspired the Green or the South Carolina sit-ins. It did so much to help desegregate cities that, you know, I'm so glad that we are, as a city, commemorating what Clara Looper and the NAACP Youth Council did back in 1958 to take that brave stance against racism. So there's that. Also, I don't know if you've heard, I don't know how to feel this, cause I'm not a sports guy. I'm just a sports fan and I'm an OU fan. And you know, there's always that joke. There was that old joke back in the day, that, hey, did you hear that they're making a special steering wheel for OU football players? It's the width of handcuffs. That's the old joke that OSU guys used to tell me all the time. And we always, you know, the season comes around, you hear some controversy. Well, it appears that there's a little controversy around John Mateer, the quarterback. Here's the Oklahoman article on it from Colton Sully. John Mateer never bet on sports. OU football star calls Venmo payments inside jokes. And the story goes a little something like this. Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer released a statement Tuesday afternoon calling the allegations he gambled on sports false. Allegations circulated Monday evening after a series of screenshots showing Venmo activity from Mateer's account on November 20th, 2022 surfaced. The Venmo receipts twice reference sports gambling and a specific game. Mateer, then a true freshman at Washington State, has since deleted all of his Venmo transactions. In his statement, Mateer confirms the screenshots are legit and are transactions originating from his Venmo account. He says the descriptions were inside jokes and not sports betting payments. The allegations that I once participated in sports gambling are false, Mateer wrote in his statement on X. My previous Venmo descriptions did not accurately portray the transactions in questions, but were instead inside jokes between me and my friends. I have never bet on sports. I understand the seriousness of the matter, but recognize that, taken out of context, those Venmo descriptions suggest otherwise. Following Mateer's statement, OU Athletics provided a statement to the Oklahoman saying the department is unaware of any NCAA investigation and has no reason to believe there is one pending. Here's the full statement from OU Athletics. The OU Athletics provides ongoing education to its student athletes, coaches, and staff on matters related to sports gambling. The department utilizes Prohibet, which is an industry standard service offering comprehensive monitoring of sports gambling activities. OU takes any allegations of gambling seriously and works closely with the NCAA in any situations of concern. OU Athletics is unaware of any NCAA investigation and has no reason to believe there is one pending. So Let's see here. Most immediately dismissed the Venmo screenshots as fabrications Monday until the account included unrelated payments involving former team state and current OU offensive coordinator Ben Arbuckle and a family member. ESPN's Peter Tamil reported Tuesday morning university officials were aware of Mateer's Venmo history and that they are looking into the situation, plan to be proactive and exhaust every avenue. I can assure my teammates, coaches, and officials at the NCAA that I have not engaged in any sports gambling, Mateer wrote. There's a little bit more if you want to read about it and all that in the Oklahoman Today. But, you know, as somebody that uses Venmo, I get it. You can put little snappy little things about, hey, I'm doing this for this. I mean, I think I've had one of those jokes directed my way. Probably inappropriate to share on the air what my friend said he was paying me for. But it was just kind of one of those things. I'd let him borrow some money and he paid me back through Venmo and made an inappropriate comment. So I don't make my comments public. I don't put those on there for Venmo followers. I don't know. I'm one of those old school guys that old school, new school. I'm old school in that, hey, I don't make all those transactions public so you can see who's giving me Venmo or not. And I like using Venmo. I like using these apps and stuff like that. It makes life a lot easier when you're trying to pay bills or transfer money and you can't get to the ATM. And so I hope, as an OU fan, I hope Mateer is serious about that and he was just joking around and that we find that out and clearly find that out. Otherwise, this is going to hang over the head of the team for the for the season, and we're not started yet. I mean, we get started August 30th. So good luck. We'll see. All right. Let's see here. It is 7:16 at Oklahoma Stock Radio Freedom 96.9. Coming up, we'll talk about what happened at the Oklahoma City Council yesterday when it comes to a big, big store coming to Oklahoma City and the incentives involved. A lot of praise, but there was also somebody out there that didn't like the idea. We'll come up on all of that next here on Freedom's First News. You're listening to Oklahoma's Talk Radio, Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Checking out Freedom Traffic on this Wednesday morning. Yukon to downtown 21 minutes. Norman to downtown 26 minutes. Edmond to downtown 23 minutes. And Midwest City to downtown 22 minutes. Keep in mind those school zones flashing. Oklahoma City, Yukon, Norman, Enid, Chickasha, Middell, Putnam City, Western Heights, all opening doors this morning. Buckle up, drive careful. That is Freedom Traffic.
At the new Freedom 96.9, no fake news, no crybabies, no snowflakes, just our commitment to let freedom ring. We're the new Freedom 96.9 at freedom969.com, Oklahoma's talk radio.
Hi, this is Mitchell with Discount Garage Door. And if your door sounds like this, it's time to call 525-DOOR. Right now, our noisy door special is just $125 out the door. That includes a full tune-up, lube, and a new set of ultra-quiet nylon ball bearing rollers. Need a replacement? Take $500 off our garage door and motor combo, available in multiple colors and panel styles. And that's Discount Garage Door at 525-DOOR or discountgaragedoor.com.
The treasure hunt is on at Thunderbird Casino in Shawnee as we hunt for Neptune's gold for your chance to win up to $5,000 in cash. One entry for every 50 points earned daily with your Players Club card in August to earn entries for your shot to win. Drawing start every Friday at 7 p.m. only at Thunderbird Casino in Shawnee. Come for fun, play to win. PlayThunderbird.com.
90% of wildfires are caused by human mistakes. Throwing a cigarette butt out of your window, pulling a trailer in the chain drags, burning in windy conditions, all no big deal until they are. Don't let your mistake turn into a tragedy. Here at the Oklahoma State Firefighters Association, we want to remind you to practice fire safety this wildfire season, and remember, if you see smoke, call 911. The Oklahoma State Firefighters Association, working to protect and serve. Visit osfa.info.
In times like these, you need a strong voice that stands for freedom. That's what we do with 100,000 watts of power. We're the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
So please, I'm not saying kids aren't suffering. I'm not saying innocent people haven't lost their lives in Gaza. But it's not the intention of anyone in the IDF, and certainly not the mission from the government and the military, to hit at one innocent person. But the problem is, these horrible people live amongst the population and are looking to sacrifice the Palestinian people. So they want to put the pressure on the democracy.
The Brian Kilmeade Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. This is Freedom's First News.
Yeah, looking up at the TV, I don't need this negativity in my life. They're saying we're losing daylight starting today on the TV.
Ugh.
See, I get the sads. I do. A seasonal affective disorder is a real thing when it comes to me, because we get less daylight and I just get crankier and crankier. Of course, a lot of my cranky is usually somebody's cheerful. Because I don't really truly, I get cranky, but I don't know. I don't share it very often. But yeah, we're, fall is coming. Summer's ending. Oh boy. I'm a summer person, by the way. I love the heat. I love the summer. You won't hear me complaining about that. But I can smell the pumpkin spice coming around the corner. And I'm not against pumpkin spice. It's just not my flavor. I'm more of that mocha, peppermint mocha. When the winter really sets in, when we get into like late fall and early winter, I'll go for that at Starbucks before I go for the all the pumpkin spice. But have your pumpkin spice. It's fine. I'm not against it. So yesterday, the Oklahoma City Council met, and among the meeting items were $8 million in incentives for a retailer called Scheels. Now, I don't know if you've heard about Scheels. I had to do a little studying because I had kind of heard of them, but I really didn't look into the concept. And really, they are kind of a different concept than Bass Pro or Cabela's or something like that, but kind of similar. So they're coming in. They're going to build one of their stores here in Oklahoma City, I believe. Let's see here. And so the council was going over the presentation. They had an official from Scheels, Trevor Klein, was there. President of and CEO of the Alliance for Economic Development of Oklahoma City, Kenton Sudol, was also there. He made most of the presentation when it came to talking about the incentives. Klein talked a little bit about the actual what they do. There were some questions from the council members. And then, of course, they had public comment, which is some of my favorite part of city council meetings, as I have famously said here on Freedom's First News. And so we'll start off with Kenton Sudol, the president and CEO of the Alliance for the Economic Development of Oklahoma City, making a presentation on the impact estimates for Scheels incentives here if they build here.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Excited to bring to you this joint resolution, this project for an incentive for a Scheels store, just to give the broad overview on this thing. What this would provide is a maximum over 10 years of $8 million. We intend to bring back, this would be the allocations. This is kind of thinking like the term sheet. We have to bring back, obviously, the contract with the Economic Development Trust, but would intend to have in there that also it has an $800,000 a year limit. To also, just to make sure we check the boxes, this does comply with our retail policy. We looked at this, did market studies and looking at this project. It's estimated that over 50% of the sales would come from outside a 25-mile radius, and over 75% of the sales would come from outside the city limits. Trevor Klein, the Director of Operations for Scheels, is here, is going to give a presentation and talk to you more about the project. But just what this is all based on is approximately $130 million a year of sales. So if you kind of look at that in that perspective, we, as always, we only look at the net new sales. The incentives are a negotiated amount only out of the new money that comes in. And, as an estimate, looking at that, the general fund portion on $130 million of sales would be like in the $2.9 million range. If an $800,000 incentive is given, the city would still receive the other $2.1 in general fund, not counting the other taxes.
So even with the deal, it looks like projecting wise, if the sales kind of follow the pattern for Scheels, then it looks like Oklahoma City could gain $2.1 million into the general revenue fund plus the other ancillary taxes. Now, Trevor Klein with Shields explained the economic impact the store could possibly have.
I don't know if anybody's been to Eau Claire, Wisconsin, but it's pretty small. It's a town of about 65,000 people, and it's busier than just about every one of our competitors in the sporting goods category throughout the country. Even if you go to apparel and footwear, if you look at the big Macy's or Bloomingdale's or whatever it would be, there's Shields stores. And what that means to Oklahoma City and the community is we're going to draw a lot of people, outside of this community. What, 250-mile radius? I worked at the Texas store. It was amazing how many folks we drew from Oklahoma, how many people I run into in Oklahoma City of like, hey, we go to the Shields store in the Colony, Texas, down by Frisco. But we'll average 2.5 million visitors a year over a two-hour stay. And then on top of that, besides all the sales tax that will be created, from a jobs perspective, 200-plus full-time jobs that today average over 55,000. I'm sure that will be higher in 2028. But those jobs range anywhere from entry level, about 50,000 for a specialty shop manager, all the way up to about 120,000 for assistant store leaders. Plus on top of that, we'll have 300-plus part-time positions, which today averages north of, it's about $22, $23 an hour for part-time pay when you add that in. So overall, the payroll for that store, I know it says 13 to 16, will probably be somewhere between $15 and $16 million a year. So we really pride ourselves in taking great care of our associates because those are our owners.
So they said they're employee-owned. A little bit earlier in his presentation, it was fairly long, so I kind of broke it down to the economic impact there. I think we have enough time to play at least one more of the actualities we have here. Then we'll go to the news break, and we'll finish it off after the news break. How's that sound? So, let's looking here. Ward 7 Councilman Kamal Pennington said he was looking forward to Shields in Oklahoma City. He asked Kenton Sudol how the incentives were going to work.
So could you explain how this incentive works? What are the metrics that go with, if we vote yes, explain the metrics that Shields is required to meet in order to receive the incentive?
So we'll be bringing back a contract that embeds those metrics, and the intent was, it would be limited to over 10 years, a max of $8 million over 10 years. We intend to bring a max of $800,000 per year. And then we also intend to bring that there's a minimum of $100 million of sales, or they don't get anything each year. I think, Trevor, they feel pretty comfortable with that, which I will tell you is a pretty high bar on these types of incentives. So they have to build the store, and it has to generate this level of sales for them to get that.
So we'll see in the contract details.
Yes.
So this is just enabling us to engage further. Okay. That makes sense.
But it definitely will be structured as a pay for performance.
Now, keep that in mind, pay for performance, because after the break, we'll play a little bit more of the discussion about Shields and what it's bringing to the city. But there was an Oklahoma City resident who stood up to speak against the incentives and has a familiar name if you're an old school political junkie here in Oklahoma. Definitely an old school type guy that he's been consistent over the years. I can tell you that. And we'll also get a tax report. How are the tax collections working in Oklahoma City right now, since we've got past the first of the fiscal year that started July 1st? And we'll get that after the news break. Also, coming up, we've got another manufacturer coming in, and we'll talk a little bit about that. The Oklahoman Steve Lackmeyer has that story. A manufacturer is coming to Oklahoma City to build a $50 million plant. That's coming up. Also, we'll talk a little bit about former Oklahoma Representative Debbie Blackburn. She passed away at the age of 74, and we'll touch on a whole bunch more. Oh, by the way, just real quickly, I forgot to mention at the top that Moore approved its hotel tax. The hotel tax will go up from 5 to 8%. The officials estimate it's about $300,000 for community projects. And out of all the charter changes they asked for, only one did not make it by voters, and that was the elimination of the personnel board. That board has been inactive for some time now. So There's your update on the more tax. We'll continue our conversation about what happened at the Oklahoma City Council yesterday when it came to approval of $8 million of incentives for a retailer planning to locate here in Oklahoma City. That's after the news here on Oklahoma's Talk Radio, Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. The House Oversight Committee seeking to uncover any alleged ties between former President Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein. President Trump may soon get the interest rate cut he's been asking for from the Fed.
That's because July's inflation report is better than expected. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt celebrated the news.
Today's CPI report revealed that inflation beat market expectations once again, and inflation remains stable.
I'm Mark Mayfield.
Forecasters are tracking the path of Tropical Storm Erin, possibly the first hurricane of the season. The Texas Department of Public Safety is trying to track down runaway Democrats who skipped town in order to stall controversial GOP redistricting efforts. One of two Uvalde, Texas police officers charged in connection with the Robb Elementary School shooting has asked for a change of venue. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true. People are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. You can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes, a very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-SHARE-40, 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 855-SHARE-40.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Garfield Furniture. Great news! Garfield Furniture has what you've been looking for and much more. Visit them in downtown Enid today. Oklahoma is tackling its teacher shortage with an international twist. It's Fuel OKC, a local education nonprofit, has recruited three qualified teachers from Mexico to join Santa Fe South schools for the school year. The bilingual educators bring needed talent to classrooms with many Hispanic students. The program partners with a Mexican university and uses legal H-1B visas, aiming for a long-term impact by providing strong role models who share cultural ties with students. Oklahoma City is moving forward with plans to welcome a new Shields sporting goods store, approving up to $8 million in incentives in an 8-to-1 city council vote. The store will be part of a new development on the west side of Lake Hefner Parkway, north of Kilpatrick Turnpike. It's expected to open its doors to the public in 2028. On August 15th from noon to 1:30 p.m., an interactive workshop in OKC will teach homeowners, gardeners, and land managers how to save water, improve plant health, and reduce stormwater runoff through smart irrigation. The session is open to the public in English and Spanish. You can sign up now by calling 405-713-1125. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
Garfield Furniture is Northwest Oklahoma's most relaxing place. Who needs the spa when you have a giant room full of welcoming and comfortable recliners? Recliners that move you, literally. Garfield Furniture has the best selection of adjustable recliners. And don't stop there, because there's another giant room full of mattresses ready for rest and relaxation. Plus, with three full levels of tables, lamps, chairs, couches, and more, there's no other place that is more comforting than Garfield Furniture. Shop local today in downtown Enid since 1922.
Okie Dokie Bakery off Reno and Sarah Road.
Cupcakes, stuffed cookies, macarons, Pop-Tarts, and more, made from scratch and baked fresh every day from our own in-store kitchen that's locally owned and family operated.
Okie Dokie Bakery has the perfect treats for any occasion.
We don't skimp on flavor.
Come by Okie Dokie Bakery on Reno and Sarah Road.
And if you're curious about the flavors, check out OkieDokieBakery.com.
OkieDokieBakery.com. That's O-K-I-E-D-O-K-I-E Bakery.com.
freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today will be mostly sunny with a high of 90. Tonight, expect clear skies with humidity and a low of 69. Tomorrow will be partly sunny with a high of 93. Friday will be breezy and very warm with some sun, then turning cloudy, reaching a high of 96. Saturday will start breezy, but will have intervals of clouds and sunshine with a high of 95. Sunday brings mostly sunny skies with a potential thunderstorm in the afternoon and a high of 93. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Joe Lundberg.
Oklahoma's Talk Radio with Freedom's First News.
7:35 at Oklahoma's Talk Radio, Freedom 96.9. Welcome back to Freedom's First News. I'm your host, Jason Doyle. Thank you so much for joining us. And before the news break, we were talking a little bit and playing some sound from the Oklahoma City Council meeting yesterday. One of the biggest parts of the meeting was the Shields incentive vote. So the city council approved it, I believe, 8-1, moving forward with the Shields incentive. And that's $8 million over 10 years if they hit certain benchmarks. And during the conversation, Ward to Councilman James Cooper asked for a breakdown of Shields' wage scale.
For me, the item that you spoke about that is the most important are the wages. Seeing part-time wages, you said on average, would you say that number again?
They're about 22 to 23 on average part-time, a lot of those associates now. So it's and it will range as high as 30, but entry-level cashiers are probably about 16 or so, depending on what, if it's just a part-time cashier, but really, that's continued to rise and rise. But most of our sales associates, merchandisers, support throughout the store is going to be much higher than that.
We haven't had a chance to talk. Would you briefly explain to me, the council, the public, why those wages, especially even for the entry level?
Pardon, what is your question?
I know it's actually a very simplistic question, so it might have just caught you off guard, yeah. But it's simplicity. Why those starting wages?
Oh, why those starting wages? Well, we're looking for great people. And, you know, retention is really important to what we do, even in a part-time associate. I started part-time when I was in college. And, you know, so whether it's a part-time associate, you'll see a lot of our part-timers work for us for a long period of time, whether that's throughout high school, extended into their college years, or the entire 4 years of college, or really the gamut of part-time people that we have. I mentioned at the Economic Trust, one of the former FedEx executives is a part-timer for us in our archery shop down in Texas. So we have, it's an interesting mix of, you have the 16-year-old person, it's their very first job in high school, to very tenured folks. And so from a wage perspective, we really want to make sure that we're at the top of retail and retain those people and just get the best quality applicants.
So once again, that was Trevor Klein with Shields and Ward 2 Councilman James Cooper talking about the wage breakdown. And I've worked at places like that, my non-broadcast jobs. I have to have a second job at least to support my broadcast addiction. Because if just because the show business may be glamorous doesn't mean you always get the big bucks. So, you know, gotta work. Plus the fact my wife can't work. So I gotta have that little extra income coming in. And so I work at extra jobs, and one of my extra jobs at one point in time had that kind of mix where I was one of the older guys. It was a little bit more experienced. They brought in younger people. It was a neat little mix, and we all worked really well together. So I can see how that concept could work too. And it was a positive workplace. So maybe that is what happens at this retailer. So moving forward, during the public comment ahead of the vote for the incentive, former state representative Mike Reynolds spoke out against the incentives, and he's well known for that kind of stance in his time in the legislature, and it looks like things haven't changed for Representative Reynolds.
And this is ridiculous. I fought this when I was in the legislature, and I'll fight it now. Giving away money to corporations that may or may not be able to make a profit without taxpayer gifts. Taxpayer, I'll be paying for it. The citizens where I live will be paying this money. And each one of you know it. So I'm here today. I am going to confront you. I am going to do it from now on. I've been out of the cycle for some time. These gifts, these giveaways have to be exposed. And this is minute. What keyed me up today? I got my water bill yesterday. $167. I've lived in the same house for 43 years. It was $27. Somehow the price of water has gone up sixfold. What is going on with this body that you can allow things like that? You got a law passed in the legislature last year so that you can steal property from homeowners that can't afford to mow their lawns. If they don't pay their taxes, their property taxes in Oklahoma, what happens? After 3 years of non-payment of property taxes, an individual's house can be taken. But you guys got a law passed last year that says if they don't pay a mowing lien, the city can foreclose on it. A mowing lien is above property taxes for people that can't even afford to mow their yards. But this great economic development, why don't you divert this $8 million and help somebody pay to clean up their property or whatever? This is so disgusting. This is so far from the foundations of our country that it is absurd. And I will start bringing it to your attention. I will be asking my councilman, I'll be seeing how he's going to vote on this, but I'll be asking my councilman why he could possibly support this kind of giveaway. This company looks like a fantastic company. If they can't make a profit without the citizens of Oklahoma City subsidizing, they have no excuse, no reason to come to Oklahoma City. And what else does it do? It gives them a huge gap over their competitors that don't get the giveaways. That's what you're doing. You're picking the winners, picking the losers, and it is absolutely absurd. I'll be back. More to come.
So that's former State Representative Mike Reynolds speaking out against the incentives for Shields, the $8 million incentives, which did get approved by a vote of 8-1. And for us longtime Oklahoma politicos, does this mean that former State Representative Mike Reynolds is coming back to the scene like a phoenix? I always enjoyed covering him, and he's a very personable man, and I know he kind of didn't sound that way there, but I enjoyed covering him over the years. And his stances and against certain incentives, especially the government paying incentives, very libertarian type stances, pure libertarian, not necessarily the kind of libertarian that we have today. But so that got approved and moved on. There was another incentive that was approved that we'll talk a little bit about, a manufacturing company who's going to bring a plant here to Oklahoma City. We'll talk about that. But first, we're going to get a tax report from the city of Oklahoma City. City Manager Craig Freeman provided an overview of the revenue picture for the city as the new fiscal year got underway on July 1st. And believe it or not, the thunder actually had an impact.
July sales tax, so first month of the fiscal year. Just as a reminder, we projected about 1.7% growth in sales tax for this year. Sales and use tax combined make up a little over 70% of our budget, so on the general fund. So it's really very important to us. Our first check of the month was slow. It's down. It's a 1% growth in sales tax, but was below the target. We got a little bit more of our target for the year, projected for the year in the early part of the year, and then later in the year, it's a little bit less. But between sales and use tax, we're down about $1.2 million in the first month. A lead in for the next check on August, we've already got preliminary numbers on the August sales tax check. It is very strong growth, and a lot of that's, you know, getting the last part of the Western Conference Finals and then getting the finals. We think is having an effect. We don't have the detail, but think that would have an effect, and it's about 9% growth. So we go from 1% to 9%. Now, we don't think that's going to create a trend that will continue on, but it is good news that it will really offset the losses that we see in this month coming into next month. So I think we're in really good position right now. Again, as we talked about before, our reserves are still strong. So this is a slow start, but next month we'll offset that.
So how does July and August tax figures mean that the Oklahoma City Thunder had an influence? Well, the tax figures are laggers. In other words, yeah, they get collected during previous months, but they're reported and paid out to the cities and municipalities and whoever gathers that city sales tax or that sales tax. The state actually collects that. and then redistributes it to the municipalities. So it is a lagging indicator of what's going on, and that's how the finals and the playoffs and all that played into tax figures now, because these are the checks that we're starting to get, or from back then in April and May. So the same thing happens in the oil and gas industry when they it's called gross production tax. When they bring it up from the ground is where it's taxed for gross production tax. But those prices are stuck in back in time, and we get the report a month or two later about how much we've collected from those taxes. And so therefore, that's the reason why you see that delayed impact of tax collections, and how things like, oh, well, this event happened a lot earlier than I thought. How come it's on this tax report? That's why. It's a lagging type thing, because the payments have to filter through the state and get to all the other agencies and cities. So that's how that works. All right. I'll tell you what. We are coming up on a break, and after the break, we're going to discuss that other incentive deal that the Oklahoma City Council passed. My friend Steve Lackmire over at The Oklahoman has that story, and we'll bring it to you next. And, of course, we've had a well-known former representative, historical preservationist representative, Debbie Blackburn, passed away earlier this week. She passed away at the age of 74, and we'll talk a little bit about her and her legacy here in Oklahoma City. That's all coming for you here on Freedom's First News. I'm your host, Jason Doyle. It is 7:46 at Oklahoma's Talk Radio, Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Checking out Freedom traffic on this Wednesday morning. Yukon to downtown 21 minutes. Norman to downtown 26 minutes. Edmond to downtown 23 minutes. And Midwest City to downtown 22 minutes. Keep in mind those school zones flashing. Oklahoma City, Yukon, Norman, Enid, Chickasha, Middell, Putnam City, Western Heights, all opening doors this morning. Buckle up. Drive careful. That is Freedom traffic.
Only one station has the power to cover Oklahoma with freedom, and you're listening to it. Your 100,000-watt talker is the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com, Oklahoma's talk radio.
We're here with Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, garages take a beating from cars, tools, and spills. How does ICS help?
We transform garages with our Pentek coatings. They're oil, chemical, and scratch resistant, so your floor stays pristine. Plus, you can customize with solid colors or chip finishes to match your style.
So it's tough and good looking. How does that transformation take?
Just one day. Our fast curing Pentek coatings mean you can park your car or use your garage the very next morning. No mess, no hassle.
So it's perfect for busy homeowners. Any tips for our listeners out there thinking about upgrading?
Yeah, just call us for a free estimate. We'll walk you through the options and make your garage a new showpiece.
Elevate your garage with ICS Concrete Coatings. Call 405-403-4012, 405-403-4012, or visit ICSConcreteCoatings.com. That's ICSConcreteCoatings.com to book your free estimate now.
Hi, this is Mitchell with Discount Garage Door. And if your door sounds like this, it's time to call 525-DOOR. Right now, our Noisy Door Special is just $125 out the door. That includes a full tune-up, lube, and a new set of ultra-quiet nylon ball-bearing rollers. Need a replacement? Take $500 off our garage door and motor combo, available in multiple colors and panel styles. And that's Discount Garage Door at 525-DOOR or discountgaragedoor.com.
For the latest news and stories that impact your freedom, listen to Freedom 96.9 every day. We're the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Hey, Oklahoma, this is Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. I'll be bringing you the latest news you won't hear anywhere else every weekday starting at 2 p.m. They're so bad at winning elections that the only way for them to preserve power is by denying equal representation to voters, by refusing to adjust them to their respective growing populations. You can hear me weekdays at 2 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
Freedom's First News with Jason Doyle.
Welcome back. It's 7:49 at Oklahoma's Talk Radio, Freedom 96.9. I'm Jason Doyle, your host of Freedom's First News. And as we wrap up this Wednesday edition, you got to be there at 8 o'clock. You got 11 minutes to get there. And, of course, watch out because it's the first day of school for the Oklahoma City Public Schools districts and other area districts. They're all going to start coming in over the next couple of weeks. So make sure you watch out for the kiddos and those flashing school zone lights. And take care of that. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about the incentives voted on by the City of Oklahoma City Council and attracting the retailer Shields to Oklahoma City. There's $8 million in incentives. There's another manufacturer, or there is a manufacturer who also got some incentives out of that meeting. And this is the story in the Oklahoman from Steve Lackmeyer. And it goes a little something like this. A Tennessee light pole manufacturer is set to build a $50 million production plant at the OKC 577 Industrial Development in Southwest Oklahoma City. The Oklahoma City Council on Tuesday, August 12th, approved a $175,000 incentive deal funded through the general obligation limited tax bonds approved by voters to secure the plant. The incentive deal with Kearney National, Inc. is performance-based, requiring the creation of 81 new jobs over 5 years with an estimated average first-year payroll of $916,164, with a ramp-up to $4,109,940. Let me try that again. $4,109,940 by the end of the 5th year. One of these days, I'm going to learn how to read numbers. The $1 billion OKC 577 at Interstate 240 and Bryant Avenue is being built by Richard Tannenbaum and Mark Befford. The pair were chosen by the Oklahoma Industries Authority in late 2021 to develop the 577 acres that are close to the BNSF Railway, the I-240 Interstate 35 Exchange, and Tinker Air Force Base. The industrial park is already set to become a new home to a new $150 million headquarters and distribution center for Lock Supply and a 122,000 square foot Lowe's Pro Supply warehouse. Fred Vermeer, project manager, said the location of OKC 577 makes it a good candidate for the company's desire to expand its market into the Western United States. We are pretty established on the East Coast and we would like to go further west, Vermeer said. We looked at multiple places to do that. We looked at how we could supply our raw materials, which we also manufacture at Tri-City Extrusion in Bristol, Tennessee. Oklahoma City, he said, meets the company's goal of starting a location that is within a 10-hour radius of its Tennessee operation, while also serving as a straight shot, sparring trucks hauling the long poles, the task sparing. One of these days, I'm going to learn how to read. Sparing trucks hauling the long poles, the task of making a lot of turns. So, in other words, I-40 comes into play. I-44 comes into play. I-35 comes into play. So, that's coming up. There's a little bit more in that story. So, if you want to hit the Oklahoman, you can catch Steve Lackmeyer's story there. But another company coming to locate in Oklahoma City. They're going to be competing for employees if our unemployment rate continues here at Oklahoma City, being one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country for big cities. So an interesting development there. Now, moving on, we've lost someone who has played a major role in Oklahoma. Former Oklahoma Representative Debbie Blackburn passed away at the age of 74. Alexa Aston from the Oklahoman has the story. Former Oklahoma Representative Debbie Blackburn, a prominent historical preservationist and affordable housing advocate, has died after a decades-long career in public service. Blackburn's influence stretched across the state from her legislative work representing House District 88 in Oklahoma City to her passion for historic buildings. She was willing to fight for what's right, said her husband, Bob Blackburn, the former longtime executive director of the Oklahoma Historical Society. She believed we should be engaged, Bob Blackburn said. We should work together. We should always keep in mind that there is hope for the future. If people are acting with character, with integrity, with honesty, the world can be a better place. Blackburn, 74, died peacefully in her home on Sunday, August 10th, after suffering from different health issues for years, her husband said. She was a very passionate person, and her public service demonstrated that, said Melvina Heesch, a friend of Debbie Blackburn since 1970. She was one of the hardest working people I've ever seen. Hayes said when a project or an issue caught her attention, she was 110%. So moving on to some of the impact she had, she, in the 1980s, Blackburn served on the board of what's now known as the Neighborhood Alliance of Central Oklahoma. In 1988, she served as co-chair of a successful campaign to convince voters to approve a partial penny sales tax for additional fire and police protection. In 1989, she co-founded the Paseo Development Corporation, dedicated to affordable housing and preserving historic neighborhoods. Let's see here. Blackburn's House District 88 predecessor, Linda Larrison, convinced Debbie Blackburn to run for office in 1994. Bob Blackburn said she was reluctant to run, but soon became known as the Bulldog by her legislative colleagues because once she got a hold of a bill, if it was the right thing to do, she was not backing down. And so some of the things she did over her 12 years in the legislature, Debbie Blackburn was most proud of her legislation that created the Oklahoma Historic Preservation Tax Credit, providing incentives for the rehabilitation of historic buildings. The tax credit led to the rehabilitation of the Skirvin Hotel and the First National Center in downtown Oklahoma City, along with the Mayo Hotel in Tulsa. And I'm telling you what, if you haven't been to those two or those three, I've been by the Mayo Hotel in Tulsa. I haven't actually gone there and spent some time in the building yet. But of course, I have in the Skirvin Hotel and the First National Center after all the improvements that have been made. I'll tell you this. Obviously, the Skirvin Hotel, we're kind of used to it. But it was on the verge of going away, of being pulled down before they figured out how to use these tax credits to be able to incentivize to get it done, because it was an expensive endeavor. It wasn't easy. The people that were going to pour the money into it, they didn't know how they were going to make a profit out of that. They didn't know how they're going to make their money back. And luckily, they got it figured out. First National Center, kind of the same thing, except for it was an active building at the time it went through its renovation. I remember in the First National Center, there's some very historic things that happened in there up top. I mean, one of the barber shops up there were some of the deals made in early statehood by legislators. They were literally getting their hair cut at the First National Center and making deals that changed this the state. So you walk in now and it's like you're taken away. In fact, they used it in one of the movies that were shot here. I think it was the Twisters movie. The First National Center actually doubled as a building in New York City. And they had even changed the street signs. I used to have coffee right across the street from there. So I got to see some of the, when they started filming, it was like, man, it's getting crowded around here. Why is it so crowded this time of the morning? Shouldn't be. But it was because they were shooting a movie and blocking off streets and making things look like New York down through that corridor. It's there on Robinson. So I, if you get the chance, go and check those out, because that's some of the legacy that Debbie Blackburn left behind by her just being a public servant. So there you go. Hats off. There's a lot more of that article if you want to go read it in the Oklahoman. And one more little thing. You know, the Edmond City Council is considering, or actually approved, a speculative plan to create a new little space, a campus corner area for the University of Central Oklahoma that'll kind of tie the downtown area, downtown Edmond area. I find this interesting. So this is from Faith Anna Olson over at NonDoc. Campus corner concept approved near UCO. And there's a little bit more to this article, but I'm going to read kind of this important part. Of the three projects, the University District Plan poses the most significant change for Edmond. City and UCO officials are embarking on a partnership to develop the area connecting UCO and downtown Edmond by creating an entertainment area designed for pedestrian access. Plans for additional parking are also in the works as some current parking lots may become businesses. Council members were told fast casual dining, a coffee shop, and a recreational space like Chicken and Pickle or Dave and Buster's finished as the three most desired additions by students surveyed about the project. A.J. Kirkpatrick, director of urban planning for ADG Blatt, shared the firm's vision for the district. We needed to continue to focus on improving neighborhood connectivity to downtown hubs like Broadway and Stevenson Park to the south, and wherever possible, promote multi-level transportation through protected bike lanes, sidewalks, and safer crossings, Kirkpatrick said. Kirkpatrick said the new district designation will move Edmond toward the same goals as other city improvements, especially regarding Edmond's housing needs. I wanted to increase the total housing units to support legalization and address affordability with different types of housing. And we'll stop it there. Of course, you can read more there on Non-Doc all about it. So it looks like things are happening in Edmond as well. Wrapping up things here on Freedom's First News. Make sure you stick around. 4 o'clock today, it's The Drive with Lee Matthews. And of course, I'll be back tomorrow, Thursday, with another edition of Freedom's First News right here for you on Oklahoma's Talk Radio, Freedom 96.9.